In the name of the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 145 in the Septuagint, Psalm 146 in the King James or other most contemporary translations is heard at almost every liturgy. It's the second antiphon. Antiphon comes from the word it's related to the word antiphonal, because in the ancient church they were sung antiphonally, but basically it's the second hymn that's sung in the course of the usual Sunday liturgy. It begins with the words, "Praise the Lord of my soul, I will praise the Lord of my life." To praise God in your life means to live your life in such a way that it brings God praise. And it's what Christ was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I will chant for my God for as long as I have my being. One could hear that and think that we'll chant unto God for as long as we are alive in the flesh, but maybe it will stop. But Psalm 83 makes it clear that blessed are they that dwell in my house unto the ages of ages, shall they praise thee. So we praise God in our life, but we look forward to the day when we will praise God for all eternity in heaven. And so this is a preparation for eternity, and that's one of the reasons why it's so important that we get used to it now, and that we learn to love it. Trust ye not in princes and the sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. We live in this real world where there are all kinds of things that are going on, concerns that we have, and obviously we have to rely on other people to some extent, but if you're putting your ultimate hope in any other human being, you're destined to be disappointed. If your hope is in the Republican Party, Saving America, or the Democratic Party, as the case may be, you're probably going to be disappointed. And even within the church, you shouldn't look to any individual in the church and let your faith rise or fall on that person's behavior. That's one of the reasons why we wait till after a saint has finished this life before the church draws attention to them and says, "Look at what a great saint this person was." Because it's only at the end of their life, after they finish the course of the Christian struggle, that we can really assess what kind of a person they really were and whether they ultimately were saved. So if we look at people in the church and we're thinking, "Well, they're the reason why I have faith," you're going to be disappointed. Your faith should be in God, not in any human being. "His spirit shall go forth, and he shall return unto his earth. In that day, all his thoughts shall perish." No matter how great a person may be, no matter what they might accomplish in this life, they're ultimately going to die. And what this is saying is that when they die, their body is going to return to this ground. And in that day, all their plans, all their hopes for the future end there, because they're no longer able to do anything about it. In the Sayings of the Desert Fathers, St. Sisyphus the Great is quoted as having gone to visit the relics, or the body of, I should say, not the relics because he wasn't a saint, Alexander the Great in Alexandria. Alexander the Great was enshrined in tomb in Alexandria that all the great Greeks and Romans would go because they had such great admiration for this man who conquered almost all the known world, and only when his men got tired of invading into India did he finally have to turn back, not because he didn't want to keep going, but this man from this little country in Greece was able to subdue all the civilized world that had been known up to that time. And so he was called Alexander the Great. But St. Sisyphus the Great went, saw his tomb, and he's quoted as saying, "The mere sight of you, tomb, dismays me and causes my heart to shed tears as I contemplate the debt that we, all men, owe. How can I possibly stand it? O death, who can evade you?" He was pondering this great man, and here he was, bones and dust. And that's the fate of all men. That's where we're all headed. And the saints also tell us that if we keep that thought before us, we'll never sin. If we always remember the end, that we're ultimately going to die, and then after that, we have to give an accounting to God. If we keep that before us, we'll never sin. Then the song goes and it recounts all the blessings of those that put their trust in God. It says, "Blessed is he of whom the God of Jacob is his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who hath made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. It's only that kind of a being that we can actually put our trust in, someone who's eternal, someone who is all-powerful, someone who will never disappoint us, who keepeth truth unto eternity, who executeth judgment for the wrong. Whatever injustice we may see, no matter how men may try to obscure and cover up the truth, God is a God of truth, and he's a God of justice. And truth will always out, and as they say, it will always triumph, and there will be justice. Some people appear to evade justice in this life, although I think it's only by appearance. But ultimately, everyone will stand before God, and there will be final and perfect justice given to every human being who's ever lived. And that's our hope. When we see things that are done wrong, it's not for us to make that right. We need to look to God and trust in his justice. Who giveth food unto the hungry, the Lord looseth the fetter. He feeds us, he nourishes us. Everything we have is provided to us by God. And he also sets us free. He sets us free spiritually. And also, God has set the human race free. The Christian faith, as it spread throughout this world, is a reason why slavery has almost ceased to exist, at least in the form that it used to be. And it's only in countries where Christianity is not present in great strength where you continue to see slavery existing in this current day. The Lord maketh wise the blind. The Lord setteth aright the fallen. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the proselytes. The Lord gives the blind man sight, spiritual vision. One of the great saints of the church was St. Didymus the Blind, and his sayings are recorded in the sayings of the Desert Fathers, and there's great wisdom that came from this man. The Lord sets aright the fallen. He corrects those. When we sin, but we repent, when we turn to him, when we're seeking him, God will lift us up. He will forgive us. He will point us back in the right direction. He loves the righteous. When it says the Lord preserveth the proselytes, for those of us that are converts, that came to the Orthodox Church later in life and weren't raised in an Orthodox family, that's talking about us. The Lord will preserve us. He'll keep us in the faith if we put our hope in him. He adopts for his own the orphan and the widow. The scriptures say that God is a husband to the widow and he's a father to the fatherless. And one thing that I should point out is that we imitate God, we do his will when we are that way as well, when we're a father to the fatherless, when we're a husband to the widow, when we help the poor, when we feed the hungry, when we help people who are down and lift them up. That's what it means to be a Christian, to do God's will, but so when people see us, they see Christ through us. And after all that, it ends with this: and the way of sinners shall be destroyed. He doesn't go into great verbiage about how that will happen. He just sums it all up in one phrase: the way of sinners will be destroyed. That's the end of those that do not seek God, that don't put their trust in God, that don't repent. Ultimately, their end is destruction. The Lord shall be king unto eternity, thy God, O Zion, unto generation and generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, the Psalms tell us, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. One generation after another, a faithful people have come and have gone to the next life, and God has been there constantly for each and every generation. We've had a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and one day, if we're faithful, we will join that cloud, and other generations will come. And God is constantly gracious and loving and merciful to each and every generation. Whoever believes on him will never be put to shame, will never be disappointed, will never be left holding the bag, will never have God change the way that he is. He'll always be there constantly, forever. Amen.